This morning, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you we can gather in your name, whether we're in a familiar room or different room, it doesn't really matter, because you are everywhere, and we thank you for that. Lead us in this time of prayer this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at Matthew 8 once again. We were there last week, the last time we met, and we had a prayer where Jesus was doing a healing, and there's more healings. He healed the leper, then he healed the, if he touched me, remember that one, and then he also healed the centurion's servant without touching him at all, because the centurion's servant was at a different location, and then he healed Peter's mother-in-law. This is all in Matthew account, and then he healed many at sunset by touching them with his spirit, it says. And so now we have a display of his power now in Matthew 8:25. And I think Jesus is training his disciples for the day when he will no longer be with them. A little later on, this is a fearful experience in the Sea of Galilee, but he's with them. A little later on, he's going to send them across without them, and they're again going to lose their faith. They keep losing their faith, just like maybe we do a little bit, or at least having a lapse of faith. And so today we have his first display of power over the wind and over the waves. And so he tells them to get in the boat and go over to the other side. Get in the boat and we're going over to the other side is what he says. And so they're in his will, right? They're doing what he said to do. They're totally obedient. And you would think they would have an easy, safe trip, right? Jesus is with us. We're going over to the other side. But that's not the case. It says a tempest arose, and the word there is a seismic storm, which is like shaking like an earthquake, a huge storm. And the Sea of Galilee is way down 630 feet below sea level, or something like that, 680 feet below sea level. And Mount Hermon is 9,300 feet above sea level right next to it. And these winds come down from cold Mount Hermon and hit the warm air in the Sea of Galilee pocket, which is really surrounded by mountains. And you have this huge energy exchange. And then the waves can get as high as 25 feet on the face or on the back. That's 40 feet on the face. And they're in these little boats. If you've been over there, you've seen where they recovered one of the little fishing boats. That probably was what the disciples and Jesus were in. And it's just a very small boat, maybe from here, a little more from here to that wall, but certainly not as long as this room. And if you got a 40-foot wall of water coming on you, how would you like to be in that? And these guys were experienced fishermen. They knew the danger of the Sea of Galilee. So they're going to be tested now in an area where they're very familiar with, an area where they have they know the danger. And there they are. So, is Jesus able to deliver us or what? And what do we do under such a case? Well, let's open with just singing a song on the back of your notes. You've got Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling. Pass me by. others thou art calling. Do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
So what do we do when we get in great danger? We pray, don't we? We pray. Well, in the Matthew account, we read, "Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him." One of the things we see in this little story is if you're going to really be someone who follows Jesus, and if you're really going to be someone in committed to prayer, you're going to have to go into the sea. You can't just walk along the safe seashore like the people did in this case, walking around the lake. But he and his disciples went into the sea, and a great tempest, this great seismic storm, so to speak, would shake it, actually, arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves. Now, that's not a good situation to be in a boat that's covered with waves, is it? But Jesus was what? Asleep. An awesome thing here, really. It does show us the humanity of Jesus. He was tired, I'm sure. He could sleep at peace because he knew the Father was in control. And also, it shows us that he was with them, but he was not concerned about anything. So what do? They come to him and they wake him up saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." That's actually a very good prayer for all of us, is it not? Certainly from a whole much more reasons than just drowning in a lake. It's our eternal salvation and so forth. "Lord, save us, we are perishing," is what they told him. What did he say to them? "Why are you fearful? Why are you fearful?" Isn't that a great question? It's a loving question, but a great question from our Lord. And how often does he need to ask us that, right? Why are you fearful? Fear is in the Bible many, many, many times because we are fearful people. When's the last time you were really afraid? Maybe this morning, or maybe yesterday, or when? And yet Jesus would say, "Why are you fearful?" And they would probably think, "Lord, do you know how dangerous this water is? We're sinking." I don't know, we're fishermen. We've been out here. We know what this water is like. They were looking at what they saw, did they not? Now, what is faith? Faith is looking at what you don't see, right? And so we pray, "Oh, Lord, increase my faith." Yes, because with a little faith, I can move mountains, and I want more faith. And so he puts us in the middle of the lake with the boat sinking and says, "Trust me." But he says, "Why are you fearful, oh, you of little faith? Oh, you have little faith." He uses that term a lot because they have lapses of faith. They do really well at times. At other times, they don't do well at all. And we think, well, I don't want to be like they are, but yet I'm even worse than they are, right? But they had been seeing all kinds of power. They'd been seeing the various miracles. They were with him and watched him heal the sick and so forth. And now they are afraid, but he's with them. He's there in the boat with them. And those are not big boats, so it's not like he's, you know, six stories down or something. He's right there with them. "Why are you fearful, oh, you of little faith?" Then what? He arose and rebuked. Rebuked. That's a strong term as well. That's what Jesus would always do with the demons. He would always rebuke the demons. And so maybe there's some demonic activity here, probably with the storm. I don't know. But he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. The winds and the sea. And then what was the result? Immediately there was a great calm. This is very unusual. It's not so unusual for the winds to stop, because winds can frequently blow up and stop. But waves, when you get all this wave action, you know, water's not compressible. That's why we have these tsunamis that move clear across the ocean, right? And you have all this wave action, for that to suddenly grow calm, that must have just blown their minds, because they were familiar with that Sea of Galilee, and they knew the ferocity of those waves. And so what happened? They marveled. So the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him?" So what does this mean to us? Well, we're going to be tested in our faith. And we're going to be scared to death, right, from time to time. And then there's times when the Lord comes through, as he always does, and we say, "Oh, I'll never worry again. Because look what the Lord just did. He just did such an amazing miracle. I should never be concerned again," until the next wave comes, right? But they're to pray, and we're to pray. That's why we have prayer, and we're saying, "Lord, help me and save me." I like one of the things that I read that one of the fellows, I think it was Moody, it's on her notes here, I can't remember who it was, but D.L. Moody, a woman walked up to him after one of his messages, and she quoted Psalm 56:3, and she said, "Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you." And she was just so wonderful. She said, "I found this wonderful promise in the scripture." And he said, "Well, a better one is Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and what? Not be afraid. For Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation." So we need to pray that he would carry us through, which he will, that we will trust in him and not be afraid, right? "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So this is a little demonstration, not a little, but a big demonstration of his power in calming the winds and the waves. And they marvel, saying, "Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him?" So they're getting the picture. Jesus is pretty spectacular. Do you have that picture? Jesus is pretty spectacular. I'm sure you do, but we need to thank him and praise him for that, as well as go to him in prayer. So this morning we're here to pray and speak up. Some of us will have our backs to one another here on a round table, but that's all right. Our prayers are directed upward anyway, right? So it doesn't matter what direction we're facing. So let us pray now. And pray for the church. Pray for the refugees. And however the Lord leads you to pray, let us pray.